Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Love the weather. I have to confess, I am enjoying it, and we're glad you're with us today. This is going to be another record-breaking day. I'm not talking about weather. Jerry, did you know that last week we took a record number of phone calls?
No, I didn't.
During the show. Yeah, it was a record.
I didn't talk long enough.
Well, each time. What was fun is that we took about half on the virus and related topics and half on non-virus topics. And so I'm expecting that again today.
Okay.
Folks, you can call us about anything you want. It does not have to be about the virus. But on the other hand, there's still some very interesting things and thoughts. And
it's evolving rapidly.
It is.
And the virus is evolving, too. It's also being modified by us.
So there's lots of reasons for you to keep listening. There's lots of reasons for you to call in. Do not hesitate to call about anything. Knee pain. It doesn't have to be about the virus. Your heart, your lungs, kidneys.
Yeah, I'm not in the mood for hemorrhoids today, so okay. Let's stay away from that. But
You know, isn't it interesting? So I don't recall. Have we had calls about hemorrhoids?
Yes, but it's been several years ago.
It's been a long time. And yet, so many of our listeners have them.
Oh, yes, they do. It's part of a standing upright. You know,
It is.
Gravity. Those are basically varicose veins of the anus. That's what they are. So you get varicose veins in your legs, you're developing them there, too. It's just from being upright, and there's the valves go bad just because of the constant pressure of our upright posture. If we walked around on all fours, we wouldn't get those.
Well, I guess we just have to put up with it.
I guess so, because I'm not going to go back. Well, maybe someday I'll be on all fours again, but that's another 40 years up the road.
Okay. So, folks, we are glad you're with us. So glad you're with us. A beautiful day. And lots of reasons for you to call in, whatever they are. Give us a jingle at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. And we will put you in line and get to your calls. Now, we just need a general update, sir, about some of the things that are going on regarding the virus. What are the latest developments from your
The latest developments are from the science. The lockdown was unnecessary, except maybe in New York City and parts of New Jersey and that sort of thing. It made good sense at the time. I'm not criticizing the fact that we did it, but it's time to end it and start using the science and the data. We presumed, for instance, that this COVID virus was going to be like influenza and kill our children, because the flu kills kids.
Yeah.
Children are essentially safe. There are a lot more danger on their scooter or their skateboard than they are from the virus.
Yeah.
So, we shut down all the schools unnecessarily because we had it wrong. We thought the kids were in danger and they aren't. This is a very selective virus. It's kind of weeding out the old, the fat, and the diabetic. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. If you're not old, fat, or diabetic, you're in virtually no danger from this virus. But the only way to get a fatal dose of the virus is to be a healthcare worker and be treating lots and lots of viral infected people so that you get an enormous overload of virus that swamps your immune system. So young doctors, nurses, and technicians will die because they're exposed to so much of the virus. But people on the street, you're going to, most of you, if you get the virus, if you're under 60, most of you will maybe get a little dry cough for a few days and run a low-grade fever for 2 or 3 days, and that's all you'll notice. Half of the people will not even get that. Their immune system will just grab the virus and crush it and go on your way. So it's the immunocompromised. And the things that suppress your immune system are being overweight, sedentary, and old. I mean, that's basically it. Diabetics, people with heart disease, you know, people whose immune systems have been compromised by disease are at risk. But healthy, younger human beings are at virtually no risk from this virus. And the virus is mutating, it's changing, and it's following the pattern that most viral illnesses do. It starts off at its most dangerous to us. But, you know, let me see if I can explain this a little bit. The average human being has 40 trillion bacteria in our bodies at any given time.
One person.
In your gut, primarily, is the biggest reservoir for organisms. 40 trillion bacteria and 10 times that many viruses.
That's
400 trillion viruses in your gut and in my gut at any given moment. Okay. And there is an interchange in genetic material between us and those organisms in our bowel. We change them and they change us. And the makeup of the normal organisms in our body change from day to day depending on our physical activity, our emotional stress, our diet, the temperature outside. We alter the makeup of them and they alter us because we're absorbing the byproducts of their metabolism 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's not there is them, then there is us. We are a cooperative community organism, if you will. When a bug like COVID invades the human body, it started in a different species, so we were not prepared for it. So initially, it can be a lethal disease. It'll kill a significant number of people. But what happens is when it's in your body, your immune system is attacking and altering the virus. And when you breathe out the viruses, they're not exactly the same virus that came into you. You are now excreting a slightly different virus. And as it invades enough human beings over and over and over again, the virus is being changed by the people that it invaded.
Okay.
All right. And it becomes progressively less and less lethal. And so eventually the epidemics tend to die out. Now, like the influenza virus, it mutates sometimes several times a year, and it will come back into us different enough to make us sick again. But over time, most people develop a relative degree of resistance to these viruses, and they change and adapt to us. So it's a two-way street. And so we have three major strains of the virus in the United States today. We have the original type A, the Wuhan version that came and hit the West Coast primarily. We got it here. They got it down in California. And then, of course, all those Chinese visitors were also going to Europe. And the European version mutated, actually twice. Italy got the most dangerous version, Italy and Spain, and the other European countries got a somewhat different version. The European strains are what actually hit the east coast of the United States. Okay, so it went from China to Europe, Europe to the U.S., to the eastern U.S. And so we actually now have three. We have one in the Midwest, we have one on the east coast, we have one on the west coast. And they're slightly different, and they have different degrees of virulence.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Southern Europe, Spain and Italy have a different version than Germany has, which explains in part why there is such a dramatic difference in fatality rates. You know, Italy is 25 or so deaths per 100,000. In Germany, it's 5, about 1/5 as many.
Okay.
You know, we are about 1/2 of Europe, but we are higher than Germany because we have different strains.
Okay.
Okay.
So it isn't how we're responding to it necessarily.
Not necessarily. But what we should be responding is to protect the old, protect the fat, protect the sick. Okay. Those people need to be sequestered. They need to shelter in place. They need to go home and stay there while the rest of us go out that are not in danger from the virus, our kids and those kids' parents. You get third graders, they're not going to die of the virus. Most of the third graders that catch the virus aren't even going to know they were sick. They're just going to go about their business. The virus will come in, their immune system will crush it. They'll go home, maybe they'll give it to their parents. But how old are the typical parents of a third grader? They're in their 20s.
Yeah.
They're in no danger from the virus. Right? So you don't shut the schools. You let the parents go to work. You let those 20, 30, 40-year-olds go about their business because they're not going to die from the virus. Now, the 40 and 50-year-olds, yeah, they're going to get sick as a rule, but they'll be sick for 3 or 4 days, maybe a week. They'll cough. They'll hack. They'll run a little fever. They'll ache. But that's about it. Okay? It's when you get over 60, unless you're a diabetic or you're obese or you have heart disease or you are on a immune suppressant drug because of your rheumatoid arthritis, those people need to shelter. But if we get 70% of the population immune to the virus, then you can't have an epidemic. We call that herd immunity.
Right.
Okay. So we did what we thought we needed to do, but we now know better. And so it's time to shelter the fragile, the elderly, the sick, and let everybody else get back to work.
So when you hear some of the scientists out there and politicians say, well, we have to shelter in place until there's not one person.
Yeah. You hear a lot more of that from politicians than you do from scientists.
Okay.
Okay.
Anybody? Fauci was...
Fauci, but again, Fauci evolved. Remember, Fauci initially, he believed what the Chinese told him. He said, this is not going to be a big problem in America.
Yeah, end of March, he was saying.
Yes, that. Fauci was saying, no, it's not a big deal. And so, you know, the expert said it, so the president said it. Okay, people are saying, well, Trump is downgraded. Well, that's because he was being told by, quote, the experts, it was no big deal. Then they went to the other extreme. You know, we had the Royal College in London say, oh, my God, 2.2 million Americans are going to die from this. And then everybody said, oh, wait a minute, we better lock everything down.
Right.
Okay. And now it's evolving again. You know, everybody has made the best decisions they could make with the information they had at the time. I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just saying we need, but honesty says we were wrong.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in medicine 45 years. I've been wrong a lot. Okay. I mean, I've seen the pendulum in medicine swing so many times. We'll get something, and the experts, the committees, the powers that be will say, you must do thing A. Absolutely. A is the only thing you have to do. And then they'll come up, you know, 5 years later and it's, well, you know, A is really not very good. You ought to be doing B. And then 10 years after that, we hear, well, you know, A was really a pretty good idea after all, but C is even better. And, you know, you go where the data goes at the time and you recognize that nothing is settled science. Every time I hear some of the eco freaks screaming about it's settled science, ain't no such thing as settled science. Science is a perpetual search for the truth. And honest scientists are perfectly willing to say I'm wrong. Most important thing I learned in a science class was from actually a Nobel Prize winning organic chemistry from whom I took my first organic chemistry classes. And he said, the honest scientist is as willing to change his theories as he is his underwear.
Okay.
Anytime it needs to be done.
That is really good to hear. So bottom line is to, because we're going to be having to go to a break here soon, not
yes.
quite yet, but soon. Is you understand why we shut down.
Yes.
But now we've learned we didn't need to.
We've learned that it was a mistake. It cost us an enormous hit to our economy.
So what do you say for like our governor and so many other governors that are...
Promote masks. Masks work. And start opening things up. And actually, they are opening up. You've been on the highway recently.
Oh, people are out there.
Compare your highway today with 3 or 4 weeks ago.
That's right.
The citizens of Washington are up and out. They had no way in hell they're all staying locked down anymore. Okay? They're gone. The governor needs to catch up with the population.
Well, having been a former restaurateur, I am especially feeling bad for so many businesses like restaurants.
Restaurants are going under. Most of them are not coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard statistics as much as 80% aren't going to make it.
Most restaurants run on very short margins. You shut them down for 6 weeks, they're dead.
Yeah. I remember when I had 12 Baskets Restaurant way back when, if it snowed, I would often get desperate because people would, even an inch of snow, an inch.
Yes.
My business would be cut by 90%. And if that happened more than 3, 4, 5 days, my cash flow was, it was tough because I often have a big pad of cash just to keep things going. So anyway, it is a potentially agonizing time. Well, I'll tell you what, that was interesting. I want to remind everybody listening right now, the last 15 minutes has been very, very good, great information. We will have this up on our website. All 4 hours today, just as a heads up, all 4 hours of today's show will be on our website by Monday, maybe noonish Monday, but Monday. So you just go to lmclinic.com and you can tell your friends, relatives, neighbors, coworkers, those kinds of things, that if they would like this information, just simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push on the podcast button, and all of our previous shows will be there. Just tell them to listen to from 8 until 8:15 of today's show and get that same information all over again. We'll go to a break now. But everybody was listening intently.
And nobody called.
Call! So, okay. Well, you heard him. See, this is how he runs the place.
That's right.
You call.
Follow the doctor's orders.
That's
call.
Right. Do it. Here we go. All the lines are open. You call now. You'll be next. 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. Okay, I have a little correction to what you just heard. Yes. You just heard about the free health analysis appointments. Bottom line, to set the stage here, people are waking up, it seems to me, Jerry, to the fact that this is an excellent time, maybe an important time, to get serious about their health.
Yes.
And so we have been making free health analysis appointments available for a couple of years. Well, we keep running out of them. We just have a lot of our listeners want one. And I just told you on that ad, which was true about 3 days ago from everything I knew, that we had plenty of health analysis appointments left in May, but we don't. And so what we did...
We're making them in June now.
Normally we won't do that because it's so far away.
We don't like to put it out, 4 or 5 weeks because people change their mind by then and we've got it scheduled and then they cancel.
That's right.
So we prefer to make them for the couple of weeks.
But because of the demand, we've made an exception here. The first time we've done this, we opened up... I'm looking at it here. We opened up another 28 appointments in the first 2 weeks of June. And that's not very many from one perspective. And by the way, that's for all three of our clinics.
And that's fewer than we normally fill on a Saturday.
Right. Half. So what I'm trying to tell you is there's only 28 left. And remember, we're giving away the, which I'm not sure why we're doing that, but that's another story. We're still giving away because people really do appreciate the $100 worth of longevity supplements and the masks.
And I want the masks out there in the public. And as long as I've got masks, I'm going to give them away.
We got many of them, and we have enough for people who come to us.
Yes.
Our patients, our
existing
patients.
Pass them out to the general public.
But yeah.
If you come to an HA appointment or you're a longevity patient and you come to your visit, you get masks for you and your spouse.
An HA appointment is a health analysis appointment, and we now have 28. I suggest they will probably be gone by 4 o'clock this afternoon, maybe 2 o'clock this afternoon. So what you need to do is you go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and push on the tab there. You'll see it to schedule a free health analysis appointment. You go there, you select the clinic that is best for you, Tacoma, Linwood, or Kirkland. And when you do that, the schedule of the available health analysis appointments will show up on your screen. You just take your pointer or cursor or what have you and click on the appointment that is best for you. Maybe, you know, Tuesday at 1:30, Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning, that kind of thing. You just click on it and boom, it becomes yours. And husbands and wives, you know, couples, you can come in. We'll grab two that are side by side or, you know, next to each other or at least close to each other. With only 28, they're going to go fast. So that's why I tell you, don't be upset at us. They're available on a first-come, first-served basis. So there you go. So, again, lmclinic.com. And, yes, you get the two free tests. So you can help determine what some of your basic risk factors are. And you get the masks for you and your immediate family that is living with you. Not all your relatives, but living with you. And the $100 worth of longevity supplements. And we have quite a few, 30 or 40 to choose from. And you're probably taking similar supplements right now. And we'll give them to you free. $100. So.
Let me give as far as supplements go,
good.
And coronavirus, since coronavirus is top of time,
good
there
idea.
Is a clear correlation between vitamin D levels and the degree of illness from coronavirus. People with high vitamin D levels almost never get seriously ill. And there's a lot fewer illnesses and a lot fewer deaths among areas where people have high vitamin D. Now, the question, of course, is why? And we're back to is there a difference in correlation and causation? High vitamin D levels are usually found in people in sunny climates because their skin makes vitamin D out of sunshine. So is it the sunshine that lowers the risk of the virus?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it the vitamin D that you get from the sunshine that helps protect you from the virus? And I'm not at all sure we know that. We do know that vitamin D levels have a significant impact on the strength of your immune response, and that people with robust vitamin D levels have lower risks of several cancers. They have lower risk of many infections. So it may be that the vitamin D is partially protective against the virus, or it could be the sunshine that causes vitamin D in a natural state. But personally, I take my vitamin D.
Me too.
And I keep my level in a robust place.
That's
just because I want my immune system as robust as possible.
I'm at 7,000 a day. How much do you
I do five.
5,000 a day.
5,000 a day, yeah.
Yeah. Which is more than what the government says you need to take.
800.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, the government recommendation is for the entire United States.
Okay. A blanket average.
An average for everybody in the country. If you are a healthy 25-year-old on the beach in Florida in your skimpy bathing suit, your skin is going to produce 35,000 units per day.
That many?
Yeah. So 35,000 per day if you're on a Florida beach. Okay. On the other hand, up here in the Pacific Northwest, we don't get that much direct sunshine to start with. And when we do, we hide from it. You know, everybody wears their hat and their long sleeves and walks in the shade. So up here, everybody is at the low end of vitamin D levels. Down in, you know, Texas and Louisiana and Florida, they're not. So when the government makes a recommendation, they have to assume that that young person making 35,000 units a day of their own in Florida doesn't need a big dose as a pill.
Obviously.
Yeah. So they say, okay, 800 units. Well, that'll keep you from getting rickets up here. But
barely.
but the average person up here needs a whole lot more.
That's right. So what is this sad thing? My wife, for
example. Seasonal affective disorder.
Well, yes. Sorry. Yeah, everybody should know that. My wife, I am convinced, is affected.
Yes.
You put her in a cloudy climate for 4, 5, 6 weeks. It seems to affect her. Maybe not me so much. I just freaking love the sun, and so we're always traveling. But there's something to this.
Yeah. Well, vitamin D is not truly a vitamin. Okay, we call it that. It's a secosteroid. And it's not a vitamin because your body can produce it. All you need is sunshine. Okay, bare skin and sunshine, and you make vitamin D. So it's not truly a vitamin. A vitamin is something that you have to get from the outside. Okay.
Gotcha.
You don't have to get vitamin D. You can make it.
A supplement.
Yes.
Extra.
Right. But it is a secosteroid, and like all steroids, it is involved in mood. It's involved in brain function. And people with low vitamin D levels tend to be sadder, morose, moodier. High vitamin D people tend to be more cheerful, more optimistic. Yeah. So, yeah, it has an impact on brain function.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, I'll tell you what. When I said there was no callers, not true.
Now there's callers.
We have four callers. They all came in about 30 seconds.
All right.
And let's at least take one before a break here. Let's talk with Susie in Everett. Good morning, Susie.
Hello, Susie.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi.
My question is, first of all, I'm a patient and a fairly new one, and my husband has signed up on one of those health analysis, and he hasn't gone yet.
Uh-huh.
But I'm wondering if he needs to go where to a clinic of yours, which one, because he has Parkinson's, and what would help him the most, or is there a certain doctor that is more knowledgeable in that? That we need to make an appointment with. We're already signed up for Linwood.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we've got two good guys up in Linwood that, you know, I think either one would actually do a fine job with him. Let me give you a little hint about how we do things at Longevity, okay? Because it's true, not every doctor is equally conversant with every disease. I mean, people have their personal interests and their strengths and their weaknesses. But every Tuesday, we have a conference call. Our doctors are at their desk where their computer is open and their medical records are available to us. And any doctor who's got a difficult case, somebody that is giving them any kind of problems, they can bring it up. And all of the doctors in the system, including myself and Dr. Umat, have the same records in front of us that their doctor has. And we all kibitz and we make suggestions and we discuss, you know, the pros and the cons and what might work and what might do better. So,
and so
that's a way of kind of evening the playing field and equaling out the strengths and weaknesses of the different physicians. So that, you know, if he presents unique challenges, then I will hear about it. Dr. Umat will hear about it. Everybody in the system will hear about it, and we'll get them to cooperate in giving him the best care possible.
Okay. All right.
So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, this is absolutely. Let's talk about this with you here, Susie. We talk about 1 hour appointments, but when you have to understand how unbelievably beneficial that is for the patient.
Yeah.
You're experiencing it already, Susie, because you're a new patient, but when the average primary care physician sees 41 patients a day in the U.S. today, 41 patients a day, and actually communicates verbally with a patient on average 5 minutes and 22 seconds, according to the last study, there's no way you can deal with enough issues. So you not only have a full hour so that questions can be asked and answered, but you have the access to Dr. Mixon, to Dr. Umat, and all the other physicians and all of their experiences. This is incredible.
Not only that, but in an eight-hour workday, our doctors are typically scheduled with six or seven patients. which gives them an hour or two scheduled into their day to A, do paperwork and refill prescriptions, but also to discuss difficult cases with their colleagues.
Right.
And they get on the phone and, you know, they talk to the other doctor in the office, or they get on the phone and talk to Dr. You Matter Me, or they send emails. So it doesn't have to wait till Tuesday either. The doc may say, I just saw a patient and I'm worried about this. And they'll check with their colleagues and get feedback. And then they might call the patient at home and say, guess what? I was saying this, but I've checked with the other docs. And let's try that instead. And so it's really kind of nice.
And this truly is where the doctors are working for the patients, not for the insurance company, and being told what to do based upon protocol. So this is exciting stuff. Susie, glad you called.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear. Bye-bye.
This is just all the more reason why you want to grab one of those 28. I'm almost embarrassed. Well, I'm not embarrassed. It's really good news for longevity, but we're doing everything we can to make available as many of the free health analysis appointments. But during the first 2 weeks of June, there are 28 appointments available free. You get the two free tests, you get the $100 worth of free supplements, and of course the masks, which are still in short supply, and we've got them. And the appointment is free. So go to our website, grab them. They'll be gone probably by the end of the day. Go to lmclinic.com and make your appointment. Grab one right now, will you? Let's get serious about our health. It's a smart thing to do. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. We've got all the lines are full, so let's just keep taking some calls. I will point out, you just heard about Dr. Michael Gilbert. We've got him coming on for about 5 minutes later in the day. I can't remember when, maybe around 11:15 today. But he's up. He's open. In fact, my appointment is this coming Friday. And so he is taking appointments. I'm going in because I definitely need to have my vision rechecked and probably a new prescription. So you can call Dr. Michael Gilbert's office at 425-450-2020. That's 425-450-2020. And with all of the extra precautions they're taking, you have nothing to worry about. And Jerry, in fact, I would say that even There have been, and there are people that are concerned about, quote unquote, going to the doctor. Well, we take a lot of precautions.
Yeah. You know, it makes sense if you're talking about an emergency room or an urgent care center where people with, you know, acute illnesses, they get their cough, they're short of breath, they're gasping, and they go to the emergency room. Okay. And so I probably don't want to be there with them. But, you know, our rules are, if you have been sick at all, even if it's just a common cold, please don't come to our office.
All right. And we'll ask you when you do come.
We'll call and remind you the day before, and then we'll check you before you walk in the door.
Take your temperature.
And we'll put your mask on you before you come in. And everybody, when you get in there, you're going to find that everybody is wearing their masks. So you are very low risk. You're a lot more danger probably going to the grocery store with strangers than you are.
Oh, for sure you are. No doubt about that. They even wipe down all of their,
all the workspaces,
anything, pens and
several
pencils.
Times a day. It all gets disinfected.
We're going through, cleaner like you can't believe.
Yep.
Okay. Let us, go to Everett and talk with Gordon. Hello, Gordon. Glad you called.
Hey,
Gordon. How can we help?
Good morning. Hey, good morning, Jerry and Dr. Mixon. I try to get to my question. I was sorry to hear that. I loved your synopsis this morning, by the way. I listened to that, and there's a famous guy in California who's super viral, and he just tried to simplify the description, but he couldn't. He can't hold a candle to your description. I love that. But anyway, get to my point. I'm also sorry to hear in 40 years you'll be possibly on all fours, and I hope you can still do the show.
Well, you know, I'll be 100. Anyway. I'll be 110 then. So, well, I know I'll be 112. I'll be 112 in 40 years. So I'm hoping that, you know. Yeah, but I'll still be running. I hope, you know, 3 or 4 miles a day. Yeah. So we'll see.
Just doing some sprinting down the track. I'm a longtime fan. I'm a kind of fixed income diabetic for a year now. And thank you for your synopsis, by the way. Incredible. I got diabetes a year ago. I'm ex-athlete, 54, ex-UW athlete. Got the diabetes, trying to stop drinking, which is hard.
Good.
But my big thing is, you know, I can't afford to come in at this point in my life, but if I start pumping iron again, can I build up my testosterone enough to, like last week you were talking about stuff like that, maybe build up your testosterone on your own. Well, you have ways to do it, but I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, for me, if I want you to have more testosterone, I just write the prescription. To do it on your own is a little tougher.
But, hey, if I get a paper out, you know, I'll get in there.
All right. So, there are a few things you can do. Okay, there are a few things you can do. There are some, for instance, boron is a very inexpensive supplement. You can get it off our website.
Cool.
And 6 milligrams, that's 2 of our tablets once or twice a day. Shifts your steroid metabolism towards testosterone production and slows the conversion of the testosterone to estrogen. And it also lowers your sex hormone binding globulin so that the testosterone you make is more effective. So, I mean, that is one simple, cheap way to raise your testosterone level. 6 to 12 milligrams of boron supplement a day. Exercise becomes easier. Yeah, you do better exercise when your testosterone level comes up, but exercise also shifts your metabolism a little bit towards testosterone production. Okay. So that's always good. Get lean. Get rid of every extra pound of body fat you can, because there's an enzyme in your body fat called aromatase that converts testosterone into estrogen. Okay. And so the testosterone you're making, if you're overweight, you're going to be turning that testosterone into estrogen. And that's not what you need. You want to keep the testosterone as testosterone. And the only way to do that is to get rid of the fat.
So is there one dietary thing I could change? Like, you know, I love, you know, my white bread all day, all night. I mean, would that aid in the, you know, like the effectiveness of my poor guy solution here?
Getting rid of your,
I don't
getting
know.
Rid
I,
of the carb.
Getting
rid of the simple carbohydrates, the white bread, the sugars, all of those
beer.
Things. Beer. Yeah, one thing people don't realize about alcohol is that alcohol is a cellular poison. And so, some of the gut bacteria produce alcohol. They produce ethanol. And so we do have enzymes in our liver that can destroy ethanol before it gets to our brain. And that's the only reason we tolerate ethanol at all. But if you drink alcohol, your liver goes into overdrive trying to get rid of all of that alcohol as quickly as possible. When it's doing that, it stops metabolizing sugars. And what will happen is all of that extra sugar is going to get turned into fat. So whenever you drink any alcohol, you are preferentially shifting your metabolism to fat until the alcohol is cleared from your system. Okay. So, and that's one of the reasons people get the beer belly. Even low levels of alcohol move your metabolism towards fat. And the fat chews up your testosterone and makes it estrogen instead. Okay. So,
I wasn't even a big drinker. I'm not surprised to hear that. Awesome.
But it doesn't take much alcohol to make that shift. So, all right. So there's a couple simple things.
Thank you.
Watch your simple carbohydrates. Increase your activity levels. Get away from the alcohol. Get away from the simple carbs. And you, as a supplement, use the boron.
Thank you, sir. Hope you both get out on a paddleboard today out in the sun.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Gordon. Thank you. I'm going to take another call. I shouldn't. We probably should go to a break, but let's do it anyway. Carol, let's talk to Carol in Bellevue.
Hello, Carol. Oops,
oh,
Carol
we
dropped
lost Carol.
Off.
Oops, sorry. Jerry Berg. Jerry is. He has a question? Okay, Jerry Berg. Well, Jerry Berg, many of you remember, Jerry sat in my chair here for eight or ten years.
He was my co-host for the first umpteen years.
Seven, eight, nine years. Jerry Berg, welcome to the show.
Yeah, wait a minute. You're sitting in my chair.
No. Get away from me.
Okay. What can we do to help?
What's up, Jerry?
I have a couple of quick questions. One is, Dr. Mixon, did you ever get used to wearing a mask in surgery? And the restrictions on breathing, it's horrible.
Well, yeah, but there's a difference, okay? You don't use an N95 in surgery. You use a much thinner, lighter mask. And a surgical mask does not interfere with your breathing worth anything. It's basically there that if you hit a bleeder and blood is going to spray up anywhere, it's not going in your nose and mouth. And it keeps you from kicking droplets from your mouth into the patient's belly when you're operating. But they're very, very light masks. The N95 really interferes with breathing. Yeah. I mean, when I put an N95 on to go in the grocery store, no way on earth I could run in that thing.
Yeah, and my glasses fog up. I'm still trying to get around that.
That's because you're not adjusting the nose piece properly.
I'm trying.
And I'm not sleeping as well with the mask on, so.
Yeah, crazy, Jerry. Hey, okay, that was a good question, Jerry.
Thank you. And serious question, too.
Yes.
This one has to do with I got a new doctor. Mine retired, and I have a new geriatrician, which Rajiv will be glad to hear. We had a kind of a blood test baseline one yesterday. And no one told me that they were going to do cholesterol. And Dr. Mixon, I guess you could probably guess what happened, but I got a preliminary report back that I have diabetes. And of course, I ate a healthy breakfast about 45 minutes before I went in for the test.
So, okay.
My question is, how much would that throw it off? Because I've never tested even close to being diabetic.
Yeah, it throws it off a lot. In diabetes, we define diabetes as fasting blood sugars of 126 or above, or a hemoglobin A1C of 6.5 or above. And if you had just eaten, especially if you'd had a rich, high carb American breakfast. That blood sugar can be up into the 150s or even 160 without being a diabetic. And so,
it was all rolled up in a Mexican tortilla. Will that change it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, Mexican breakfast.
Yeah. So there's one word I left out of that description. It is a consistently elevated blood sugar. Fasting sugar over 126. So if you know, a single reading does not make diabetes. If it stays up, they tag you as diabetic. So you want to look at the A1C and you want to go back and repeat that fasting sugar as a true fasting value, not as a postprandial value. Okay.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to dig out my last test from Longevity. Which wasn't too long ago, we checked that and forward that on to him before he starts worrying that he's taken on a patient that he's going to have to treat for diabetes also. So,
right.
Anyway, no one told me about the fasting, and then all of a sudden, as soon as I saw the report, I thought, holy cow, no one told me to fast. I know that, but I didn't know what they were going for. So
Yeah, they were probably looking for fasting sugar, and you weren't. All right.
Yep.
So there you go, Jerry. Hey.
Guys, have a great day.
Good. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate the call. Actually, good couple of questions. So way to go, Jared Berg. All right. Okay, that opens up a line. If you've got a question, 800-465-8770. When we come back, we'll talk with Lori. Is it Lori? Yes. And then Rick. And then you, because you're going to call 800-465-8770. And again, if you want one of the free health analysis appointments with the two free tests, with the $100 of longevity supplements and the two free masks, you want to go to lmclinic.com right now. Grab one. Jerry Burke just brought up Rajiv Nagayach and aging options and the geriatrician, what have you. I just want to remind you that Rajiv has done something quite unique, and he's put together the emergency legal kit. And wow, a lot of people should be calling about this. It includes the financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, living will, HIPAA authorization, will or a trust, whatever you need, and you don't have to go in. You just can do it all over the internet, over the phone. And if you want information, you can call Rajiv at 877-ELDER-47. That's 877-ELDER-47, a smart thing to do for all of you procrastinators. This is a pretty smart time to take care of that, the emergency legal kit. And, of course, you can check it out at agingoptions.com. Okay, let's go to Bellevue and talk with Lori. Lori, we are glad you called.
Yes. I am 74. I am in pretty good health for 74, I believe. I generally walk a couple miles a day. And I do have a little extra weight. Not too bad, but I have recently, in the past couple of years, developed a slight tremor in my right hand. It's not obvious to other people. I'm the one that notices it. I play the viola in a local community symphony, and by golly, it really does affect my playing. And if there's anything that I can do to help that, that would be wonderful to know.
Okay, this is an intention tremor or a resting tremor? In other words, when you're sitting with your hands quietly in your lap, is your hand trembling or moving, or is it just when you go to do something, reach your finger out to touch something?
When I'm doing something, I can carry a book from the table to the bed, mm-hmm. or something. A can of beans or something like that, and I can feel the tremor. And definitely, yeah. When I'm holding my bow, the slight tremor is there. So
okay, this sort of intention tremor occurs very frequently as people age. And it's a defect in the neurologic feedback loops that control the muscles. You know, it can get quite pronounced. You've seen some older people that, you know, not even able to write anymore because the tremor is so bad. Yeah. This is very, very common. It's not necessarily a sign of disease. The fact that it's only in one hand makes me a little bit concerned. Because usually this turns out to be bilateral, but not unusual to start in one hand and then end up in both after a while as it gets worse. Nevertheless, next time you see your physician, you might have him do a good neurologic check just to be safe. There are several things that are often used for this. One are the beta blockers, that are prescription drugs that that basically kind of damp things down. The problem with beta blockers is that they cause fatigue, frequently drowsiness, and in some people, depressive disorders. So those are the most common side effects of those. Oh. So if I'm going to use beta blockers, I like to use as low a dose as possible. One thing that is working sometimes, and not on everybody, but sometimes, a high dose resveratrol for some reason, which is it's a polyphenol. It is a potent anti-inflammatory. It's a strong antioxidant. And getting that, 300 to 700 milligrams of resveratrol a day. We make a 350 milligram pill, like one of those twice a day. Might help.
One of our doctors
actually developed a significant intention tremor, and she found that whenever she used the high dose resveratrol, her tremor went away.
Yeah.
And whenever she backed off, it came back.
Uh-huh.
That was an N of one, but as a result of her experience, we've tried it on several patients, and it seems to work about half the time. So, you know, I can't say it's going to fix, but about half the time it seems to help. So you know, give it a shot and see. It is anecdotal. It is not the result of a peer-reviewed, you know, placebo-controlled study by any means.
Right.
This is just something that we've observed in our clinic. Okay?
Uh-huh. And with that, Lori, I'm afraid we've got to go. We're coming to the end of the first hour. But we do have the 350 resveratrol.
Yep.
And you can get that rather quickly by going to our website, lmclinic.com. Push the tab on the top of the page. I think it says products or store. I'm having a brain freeze there. But anyway, you can find it pretty easy. When the page comes up, just type in resveratrol. And you'll see it right there, and you can order it, and boom, we'll probably put it in the mail on Monday if you order it today. All right, with that, we do take about a 10-second break at the top of the hour. And so you don't want to go far. We will be back with hour number two in just a moment. When we come back, we'll talk with Rick about a compression bone fracture, and then Betty about a benign tumor, all kinds of good stuff. If you stay with us, we hope you will. We'll be right back.